Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
So from pretty much the worst franchise out there, the losingest team in baseball, the Astros are World Series champions 2017.
Here's the 0-2. Utley strikes out on a pitch down and in, one out in the ninth. Picking up big outs again here tonight. Liriano got an out. Davinsky. But since then, it's Charlie Morton. It is 2-2 pitch. Broken bat. Altuve comes to get it. Two out.
Sanchez success.
Here's a ground ball right side. Could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah, an amazing end to an amazing series. And one of the really interesting aspects surrounding this series, we mentioned it on the show last night, in fact, was that in 2014, Sports Illustrated predicted that the Astros would win the World Series. On their cover in 2014, they simply had your 2017 World Series champs. And the journalist who went to visit them is Ben Ryder of Sports Illustrated, who's on the line. Hello, Ben.
How are you? It's still amazing to hear that clip from last night, just to think of how far this team came and this prediction came from 2014, I have to tell you.
How smug must you feel?
I'm trying to stay humble, you know, but in all honesty, all credit goes to the team. It goes to the front office, the executives, who put an unprecedented plan for rebuilding what had been a terribly suffering team in place, and to the players who did it. That's who did it. We just made a wild call in our magazine a few years ago. They took it the rest of the way.
How wild did it feel? I know I saw you writing about this or talking about this just in the past few days, and you came back to New York and you had the makings of a 5,000-word story that would appear in the June 24th issue back in 2014. And I know you said many people, including plenty within your own office, pretty much hated that cover.
They really did. I don't necessarily blame them. I mean, the Astros were an embarrassment to the sport of baseball. They really were. They were the losingest team in the league for three straight years. The year our cover came out, they were back in last place. They were a laughingstock. A lot of people thought that it was just not right to put a team like that on what is still a very honored type of place, which is the cover of Sports Illustrated. But down in Houston, I learned some things that really convinced me that this team knew what it was doing, that it was losing for a reason, and that there would be much brighter days ahead. Now, what they were doing was they were smartly combining big data and analytics and advanced metrics and all these things that all the sports teams have these days, but they were combining them with old-fashioned sources of information, their advanced scouts, what their scouts saw with their eyes, what their experience told them. That sort of soft information had been discarded in a lot of different organizations the Astros used.
Yes, because I saw a quote from the Astros manager, A.J. Hinch, and he was talking about that very point. He was talking about the fact that post Moneyball and Brad Pitt and sabermetrics and all this kind of stuff, we have not fully discarded with old school principles, as you said. So he said, for us, we're people, we care about people, and we've certainly been at the front line of a lot of things that are progressive, and it's gotten us to a good place, but we still have instinct. We still rely on the chemistry that's built in the clubhouse. And he talked about going and bringing in veterans, for instance. Other teams weren't getting veterans because that went against some of the principles of sabermetrics. So it's a really interesting combination here of the principles of sabermetrics, but also that human instinct. And that, I guess, in a sense, that had gone out of fashion across the last couple of years.
It has, and not just in sports. You know, I really think what the Astros did might be applicable to the broader world when you think about it. Like, we're in a world in which data seems like it's everything. You know, computers can tell us the answers to any problems we might have. Well, in the past couple of years, we've started to see that not everything important is quantifiable. You still need that human element in it. And I think we can learn from the Astros in that regard, that if you're just going to do whatever the computer says, whatever your numbers say, it probably won't go well. There is a place for instinct. There's a place for experience.
How did the 2014 piece come about? What made you go down to Houston? Had the Astros made it very clear that they were trying something a bit different and had big plans, or did you just go on a hunch, or how did all that come about?
was really drawn by the fact that they were so unbelievably bad.
Okay.
You know, this is an unusual thing that a team was this bad for this long.
So you went down there to do it. You went down there to do a "this team is really, really awful, what's that like" kind of a piece.
Well, not necessarily. I just wanted to see what was happening. You know, we kind of had, there's been articles about it, but the wrinkle was that the executives of the club were very well regarded. Right. They were very intelligent men. They'd had great success when they used to work with the St. Louis Cardinals, who are perennial championship contenders. So the combination of this terrible team with this very bright front office intrigued us. Just wanted to go down and see what these guys were up to. And what I saw was that they were up to something that obviously we decided had a great shot of working a few years down the road.
Yeah. So what did you see? What did they show you? What did they say that really grabbed you?
Well, it was really what we were talking about as far as, look, this is the most analytically advanced organization there is. The Dodgers are another one. They have everything. They can analyze the spin rate of a baseball to tell you how well a pitcher's throwing it. Launch angles of a hitter hitting a ball off a bat. Everything, you know, they can project out players' performance years down the line based on regressing them against how similar players with similar characteristics develop.
Right.
So they had all of that. But it was really this thing about using experience and scouts that was different. Moneyball was about bringing analytics into sports. They were going beyond Moneyball by almost going back to this source of information that was now being overlooked.
Okay, that's interesting. Because, like, there's a scene in Moneyball, and I appreciate we're talking about a film, but, you know, there's this scene where they're all in the scouts room deciding who to sign, and Brad Pitt looks very, very enlightened next to these older guys, you know, and there's a, you know, from memory, there's lines like, we can't sign him, he's got an ugly girlfriend. What has that got to do with it? It's, well, means he's no confidence, you know, this kind of stuff. So that made that approach look very, very dated. But quite clearly, there is a role for instinct and some, you know, things that only humans can measure. So with that in mind, do we have any idea what kind of qualities the Astros scouts were looking out for?
I do. I mean, they're, you know, when you say the words, they don't sound like anything extraordinary. You know, they're looking for competitiveness. They're looking for fearlessness. They're looking to see if a player on his amateur team, if the rest of his teammates gravitate to him.
Right.
And, you know, kind of if he's at the center of everything. You know, that sounds like, oh, well, that's obvious. But I think the average person doesn't necessarily see these things. This is what somebody who's been to hundreds of baseball games every year of their life or every year for the past 20 years can pick up in an instant. That's why there are scouts, and the Astros' brilliance was knowing there was great value in those eyes.
Mm. Talk to us about Jeff Luhnow then. He's the general manager. He's a guy who's worked for NASA, has engineering and economics degrees, clearly a very, very smart man, a former blackjack dealer. Did you get to meet him in 2014?
Well, I think you're describing Sig Meidahl, who's the former NASA engineer who works under Jeff Luhnow and did in St. Louis and also in Houston. He's the data whiz.
Right.
He's the guy who led what is called their decision sciences department, officially, unofficially called by them the nerd cave. So yeah, he's kind of been the secret weapon behind all of this for a long time. Jeff Luhnow is the general manager of the team, which means he's the top decision maker.
Yeah.
He also has 2 degrees. He's also a baseball outsider. He used to be a consultant for McKinsey & Company. And honestly, the fact that these people were coming to the sport from outside of it was part of the reason that their efforts were so mocked for a long time, were so rejected. Still a very insular world, and it was viewed as these outsiders coming in as know-it-alls. They weren't know-it-alls. They admitted they didn't know it all.
Mm.
They just thought that they had an interesting way of doing things in a way that had a chance.
Yeah, so if you sat down with Jeff Luhnow and Sig Meidahl, then what were they saying to you? What caught your eye the most back in 2014?
What caught my eye was that they laid out the plan without hiding anything.
Right.
Pretty much. I mean, obviously they weren't divulging their most secret, sabermetric and analytical things that they had going on. But they said exactly what they were going to do. They're in the midst of tearing it down. They're going to build it back up in this way. It was going to be a terrible stretch for the home team.
Mm.
It's not like a restaurant that's been failing. You can't shut the thing down and then a year later reopen it with a new menu and a new chef. You have to keep playing. The games are going to be bad. They were bad, but it was all going to be worth it.
Mm.
And that is unbelievably exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I mentioned they brought in some veterans. What else did they do that was slightly different to the rest?
Oh, they did. I mean, look, this is a product of thousands of decisions that they made.
Yeah.
The veterans were a big one, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
This is not something that most sabermetric driven teams think is a good idea, to bring in a 40-year-old like Carlos Beltran making $16 million a year. They don't think really there's such a thing as chemistry. It's all about production.
Mm.
But you talk to any Astro, and that is a huge thing in their success, just his presence, even though he actually didn't hit that well on the field. So that was certainly one. Drafting Carlos Correa, who famously now became engaged to his girlfriend last year. This is not somebody that anybody thought would go number one overall in the amateur draft, but they picked him, and it's worked out. They've made some terrible mistakes along the way. They'll admit it. They cut a guy named J.D. Martinez, who almost immediately became one of the best hitters in the league and has been for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But their goal is never to get everything right. They just wanted to get more right than the competitors.
Yeah, because interestingly, I know the Next Frontier posts sabermetrics. I think in MIT they're looking at it is a way to try and predict and measure team chemistry, which obviously gets very, very difficult and very, very tricky. And if they ever find a way to do
right.
it, it'll be, you know, approaching miraculous. But, you know, that is kind of, there is a recognition within their proponents of big data that they really do need to look at team chemistry. They just don't know how to quantify it just yet.
And that's why it's the way right now, I think, for winning teams to differentiate themselves from losing ones.
Talk to us about the series as a whole then, because we had David Wahlstein on from the New York Times yesterday, and he was begging everybody to watch Game 7 because he said the whole World Series has been unbelievably exciting.
Well, it was actually the least exciting game of them all, right?
Right.
It was essentially over after two innings. Astros went up 5-0 and then coasted. Frankly, I wasn't surprised by that, though. I thought the Astros' offense had been underperforming a little bit in some games, obviously exploded in others, and it seemed like the Dodgers pitcher, Yu Darvish, he's one of the best pitchers in the league, just did not have it this postseason, and that seems to be what happened. It was about as stress-free a Game 7 World Series victory as you could imagine
yeah.
for the Houston Astros.
Right, okay. Yuli Gurriel, what kind of reaction did he get? He was involved in mocking Yu Darvish, a Japanese pitcher, made a racist gesture, slanted his eyes in the dugout in Game 3, and he's got a 5-game suspension, which will only kick in next season. He got a terrible reaction, I know, over the last couple of games. What about last night?
Still bad. I mean, yeah, right. Rich Hill, the Dodgers pitcher two nights ago, took his time when Yuli Gurriel walked up to the plate to walk a few circles around the mound and let the boos rain down.
Mm.
I don't think that's something that people will forget
yeah.
in Los Angeles, certainly.
Yeah. You've made some predictions for 2018 and 2020, I'm hearing.
Well, you know...
Let's go. I'm putting my house on this.
Please don't. It's very rare that a team goes back-to-back in baseball anymore, largely because the playoff structure is so long and
yeah.
even the best teams often get knocked out. I think the Astros are built to win next year as well. I think that they will become back-to-back champion. Looking down the road, though, what the New York Yankees are doing, that old dominant team,
yeah.
they've had a few off years, but now they're on the rise again. I think starting as early as 2019, certainly by 2020,
right.
They're going to be the class of the league.
And are all the general managers, like if we take Jeff Luhnow and various other teams, like I know, I think the Dodgers' top decision makers, one of them is a Wall Street analyst and another is an MIT graduate with a doctorate in philosophy. Is that now the norm, that the top guys, the GMs, are all from outside baseball, or is that still relatively rare?
I'd say it's a mix these
right.
days. You still have some very intelligent baseball players who rise in the ranks to become general managers, some who come from the scouting ranks. But look, it's become an incredibly demanding position, an incredibly intellectually demanding industry.
Yeah.
So really, a lot of the top minds are filtering into it.
Okay. And one last point then, the Sports Illustrated cover jinx is very much broken by you guys, because this is a huge thing. This is its own Wikipedia entry where you can read the dozens and dozens and dozens of cover page jinxes going back to the 50s. Bob Sweikart was on the cover in 56 and 3 weeks later died in a sprint car crash. Conor McGregor's part of it, Serena Williams, Luis Suarez on it right before he bit Chiellini in the World Cup, and tons of other examples. So this more than makes up for it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, maybe the secret is to put a team on the cover when they're at the very bottom as opposed to the very top. And they have only one way to go.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to say that the SI jinx passed away on November 1st, 2017.
I think so. Ben Ryder, remarkably unsmug about this prediction. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.